It is the story of Simon and Garfunkel at the CIBC Theater, 18 West Monroe Street, now through May 5th. And I have here Paul Simon, Jonah Bobo, and Art Garfunkel, Brendan Jacob Smith. Hey, guys, welcome to WGN and welcome to Chicago.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you know, this show is more than just the music of Simon and Garfunkel. It's the story of Simon and Garfunkel. I want to talk about that. But I want to cut to this chase. I was watching, and I think, Jonah, it was from your Instagram page. You guys were thanking the audience, and on stage comes Art Garfunkel. And you guys sincerely appeared to be shocked by that. Can you tell me, both of you, first maybe Jonah, how that happened?
Well, he bought a ticket because he wanted to see the show. It's pretty much as simple as that. He didn't tell anybody he was coming. He didn't reach out to production and ask for free tickets or anything. And nobody knew that he was there until intermission, when a big crowd of people started swarming around him. And luckily, nobody told us, because I think they figured that it would be a bit nerve-wracking to knowingly perform for the person that you are paying tribute to.
Well, Brendan,
they were correct, because as soon as he came out on stage, my hands went completely numb, and it was very difficult to play guitar after that.
And Brendan, you play Art Garfunkel. How did that feel to have this guy? And also, you guys did seem clearly surprised by that. I think you said, Brendan, you were about to introduce Jonah, and you said, "And now the gentleman to my left," and there he is. Art Garfunkel now is the gentleman to your left.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the most surreal experiences of my life. Normally in the show, I turn over to Jonah and I introduce him. And as I went to do that, there was Art Garfunkel walking towards me. So that was pretty wild. Like Jonah said, though, I'm very grateful that our stage manager and everybody who knew that he was there didn't let us know, because I will say, performing in front of Art Garfunkel, especially when you're basically impersonating him, is definitely not exactly a very chill and relaxing experience. So I'm very glad that I didn't know. But he was so gracious, and he came up to us and said he loved the show and was super sweet to us, and we got to talk to him backstage for a little bit after, which was
all right,
awesome.
I want to know what he said backstage, whichever one of you wants to tell me, but what he said to the audience in his very long speech that was about 4 seconds long, he said, and I can't repeat it word for word, you guys know why, "What a great effing show." And then he appreciated the applause from the audience, and they were going crazy, and acknowledged you guys again, and then just nonchalantly walked off stage. What did he tell you backstage?
"We're sworn to secrecy." He told us not to tell a soul the things that he told us in private.
Really?
He was very gracious. He said he really enjoyed the show, and he specifically complimented some of our set list choices. We cover Tom and Jerry, which was what Simon and Garfunkel was before it was Simon and Garfunkel. Back when the two of them, Paul and Art, were in high school, just kind of doing it as a rock duo. So we covered that stuff, and he complimented that. He basically just said that the show really worked for him, and he really wanted us to take it to bigger stages. And I think he really appreciated what we were doing, and it was pretty lovely to hear that.
And I want to talk about both of you. I want to talk about the show more. But one more question about Art Garfunkel. I'm just being honest here. When I first saw the feed from your Instagram, Jonah, I didn't know instantly it was Art Garfunkel. I kind of figured it out. But he didn't look so great, to be honest with you. I know he's, what, 81 now or something like that? So, you know, I mean, he is, after all, 81 years old. But did you kind of get that impression?
No, he looks, he's doing well, as well as most 83-year-old men I know.
Okay. Okay. All right. So
he definitely didn't look. He looked well for an 83-year-old man. Yeah, okay. He definitely. I feel like I've been keeping up with what he's looked like for recent years. So for me, I knew exactly who he was right away. He's performed kind of toured a lot just by himself throughout America and kind of all over the world. And I've definitely seen some YouTube clips of what he's looked like. So although I am playing a younger version of Art Garfunkel, I definitely was aware that it was him right off the bat. And like Jonah said, yeah, his personality, he had a kind of a very like youthful energy to him, which was lovely.
That is great. And for those who don't know Jonah Bobo, you do. You've seen this guy. So if you go to the theater to see the show, or if you just simply go to Google, you'll say, I know that guy. Because you were in so many movies. You started Jonah when you were very young, and then you took some time off, I believe, after being in The Best Thief in the World, and when you were, 7 or 8 years old, and other movies as well, and then took some time off, and then you've come back in a big way. I also think if there's an instrument in a band, you can play that instrument. I keep seeing all these videos of you, and there he is playing another instrument, and obviously for the show, the guitar. So can you talk about you a little bit?
That's a lot of questions. I mean, I do play a lot of instruments. I really like instruments, mostly strings. I really like bowed strings and bluegrass plucked strings and world instruments as well. I've been at home playing a lot of pedal steel and oud, which is a Middle Eastern like gourd shaped instrument. I used to do films when I was much younger, and then when I got to high school, I met Brendan, and he was like, man, you got to stop doing movies. It's not a good look. So I took his advice, and I quit, and, here we are now, 10, 12 years later.
Well, either you're lying to me altogether, or that is kind of like a Simon and Garfunkel story, because they met when they were very young as well. So did you guys really know one another for a very long time, or you're just kind of making that up?
No, that is true. I mean, I'm making it up about the movies thing, but we did meet when we were freshmen in high school, which is coincidentally when I did my last film. And I was whispering in his ear. I was like, Jonah, just be a musician.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do the acting thing anymore. Come on. No, that's definitely not how it happened. But it is funny. That is kind of a coincidence. I didn't even know that Jonah was in movies when I met him. We bonded over Simon and Garfunkel. And that was like our forefront of our relationship. And then somebody mentioned it to me. And I was like, oh, well, to me, he's just this dude that I sing with. We met in freshman year of high school. And we did the school talent show together doing a Simon and Garfunkel medley.
What?
So it's pretty full circle to be doing the show now.
You're not kidding. That is amazing. And by the way,
no, that is true.
Brendan Jacobs.
That's a fact. We can send you the video.
I want to see it. I want proof. Brendan Jacobs Smith also is a face you'd recognize from television. America's Got Talent, perhaps. It is the story of Simon and Garfunkel at the CIBC Theater, 18 West Monroe Street, through May 5th. Man, this music is music that I think touches each and every generation. I mean, after all, even if you guys weren't, I don't think, literally even born when Simon and Garfunkel, the real Simon and Garfunkel, were at their height, but you said, what was it, in high school that you guys were performing their music. What appealed to you, Jonah, and then Brendan, about that music, even that far back?
Well, it was the two-part harmony, really. We both love to sing and love to harmonize, and Simon and Garfunkel's two-part harmony and combined with the finger-picking guitar style of Paul Simon was just a wealth of material to explore and experiment with and sing in the stairwells on our off periods or cutting class, perhaps.
And Brendan?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, both of us had listened to a lot of classic rock and folk music growing up, but I think the two of us kind of wanted to be able to make make just harmony, just the two of us, and we wanted it to not just be kind of like simple. I don't know. We wanted some complex harmonies to work on, and so and we found Simon and Garfunkel as kind of like the ultimate solution of that. But not only did Jonah play guitar, but you know he's a singer as well, and we were just looking for songs to cover during our off periods. And yeah, Simon and Garfunkel, the Everly Brothers, those were you know kind of our big solution groups. So that was our love. That's how it started.
But also, we might recognize you from America's Got Talent, where apparently you did play. You've played a lot in stairwells because you talked on that show about how you played in your parents' stairwell, practicing for America's Got Talent. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, so I started a group in 2019 called T3. It was just a group of two other tenors that were kind of theater singers that I had known, and I invited them over to my parents' stairwell to sing one song in three-part harmony, just to film it and you know have some good fun. And we put that one song on the internet, and it blew up on Instagram and TikTok and all those social media networks. And so that one got like close to 4 million views. And so America's Got Talent reached out to us and said, "Hey, you know, what do you guys think about doing this on our show?" And yeah, and so we said yes. We went down to LA and got to do America's Got Talent, which was a pretty wild experience. But I'm grateful I got to see the ins and outs of how these reality television shows and game shows kind of work. It was cool.
Is reality the right word for it? Tell me why.
I would say it is more of a reality show, yes.
Okay.
Just based on seeing the backgrounds of it.
So tell me that story. You said it was wild. What made it so wild?
Well, for one, we did it during 2020. So we went and filmed the audition video. Actually, I guess it was 2021, but still, it was very very intense in terms of COVID stuff. We had to quarantine for 5 days before we could see anybody. We were all staying in a hotel together. I don't know if you watch the audition video and you see the audience, all of that is CGI'd in. There's no actual audience, which is pretty wild, which is a little bit of behind-the-scenes magic for you. We ended up, you know, arranging a ton of different songs, and we kept having to change our song kind of like last minute. So, yeah, I guess what I mean by insane is or intense is just the whole kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on in those shows are, it's all kind of slightly curated, and it's very, it's just a very intense experience, for sure.
Did you thought that, you know, we're going to go on and we're going to win this whole thing, which you did not? I don't know how far you guys went.
We made it to the quarterfinals, and to be honest, we weren't exactly looking to win it. We kind of just wanted to get some good exposure from kind of being on the show for a little bit, and I kind of think we got the best we could out of it. We made it to the quarterfinals, and we got some new fans, and it was a cool experience. Definitely kind of grateful we didn't make it to the finals and win the whole thing. I think that would have been a pretty intense. And the main thing is that we kept the group going, and we still like each other, so I'm grateful for that.
Hey, Brendan, you know, Art Garfunkel made it seem so easy, but a lot of the songs that he was the lead vocalist on, they were not easy to sing. What is the toughest for you to do in the show?
You know, that's a good question. I do agree. I think that Art Garfunkel has one of the most iconic and beautiful voices. And he does make it look quite easy. His vocal tone is very specific. He's got this kind of smoky, angelic voice that is quite hard to emulate. So I would say that probably the most difficult thing for me in the show is the end of our show. Not to spoil anything, I do sing "Bridge Over Troubled Water," and because that song is so iconic to his voice, kind of trying to emulate his vocal tone and sound is definitely, I think, the most challenging thing, especially after singing, I think, 24 songs before that. So it's definitely it's a build up for the show because it ends with that song. So I think that's the most challenging thing for me.
Jonah, what's the highlight of the show for you?
Well, the highlight and the difficult part is different. For me, the difficult one is actually right in the beginning of the show. It's the song Bleecker Street that we do, because that one is just between like the complexity of the guitar part and the very long-held, soaring nature of the vocal part. It's very tricky, and also that's the only song in the whole show that we do that you cannot find a live version of them doing anywhere. Like, every other song in the show, you can find a version of them performing live in some capacity, and this song is one that, I don't know that they never performed it live, but it was never recorded in any of the videos or albums. If you can find it, I will give you $100. Because
remember that,
I've been
friends.
Looking for it for years. Yeah, you've heard it. Everybody and tuning in to WGN Chicago right now, send it to us. $100 for anyone that can find a live version of Simon and Garfunkel performing Bleecker Street.
Well,
but other than that, the high point is probably doing the song Keep the Customer Satisfied, because it's towards the end of the show when, you know, the most of the story has already been told, and that's a song about touring and being on the road, and it just really hits home every night to sing that song, because it's just about our lives, basically, at this time. Yeah, it's incredibly relevant to what we're doing.
Simon and Garfunkel, we only have about a minute left here. Clearly genius. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Paul Simon, of course, went on after the two broke up as a group, and he's been talking about that publicly more and more as to why they broke up. And he went on, and he clearly has had a successful career. Garfunkel, the same, to somewhat of a lesser extent. But what made them both, apart or together, it doesn't matter, answer however you want. What made them the geniuses individually and together that they were? Brendan?
So for me, I think it's just that duo harmony. And I honestly think, it's so funny that you're asking me this question, because I was watching the In Restless Dreams documentary last night, which is the new Paul Simon documentary that just came out. I was watching part two. And I think for me, the most iconic thing about specifically Paul Simon's music is his lyrics. I think he's just such a poetic lyricist, and his songs are going to live forever because nobody writes music like him. Like, he just has this way of writing lyrics that paints such a vivid story and picture, and he just takes you on such a journey with his lyrics. So I think for me, the thing that makes Simon and Garfunkel stand out from anything else is Paul Simon's songwriting.
Jonah?
I would definitely agree with that, but I also think that the blend of their voices is just something that had never been heard before.
True, yeah.
At the time that they were starting out, you know, you have guys like the Everly Brothers, which of course they're modeling their voice after, or not necessarily modeling, but they were a big inspiration for them and for their duo. But I think that in the mid-60s, when their music is coming out, you know, to pair these lyrics that are very socially aware and also very emotionally deep with these voices that blend so beautifully together. And after they hit the scene and made their mark, you have a lot more of this sort of like focus on the blend of two unique voices together. But before their time, I don't really think you had any of that. And I think that's one thing that makes their music so timeless. It's just how rich the blend of their two voices is.
Well, you do them both justice at the CIBC Theater. If you're a fan of Simon and Garfunkel, you need to be there. 18 West Monroe through May 5th. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.